All right, let's begin in prayer tonight and then opening hymn. Father, thank you for the opportunity to assemble together here in the middle of the week on a Wednesday night. Lord, thank you that we have a beautiful building that we can meet in and all the conveniences, Lord, that we have right here in America. I think of many of our brothers and sisters, the brethren, who we don't even know, Lord, but we're united by our faith in Christ, and Lord, they're believers in not only the countries where we have missionaries, but Lord, countries all around the world. Lord, you've got your people, and Lord, we thank you for that. What a privilege, Lord, one day to be able to meet together, Lord, in heaven, and all nations and cultures and languages, Lord, and to fellowship through the ages with God's people. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be here tonight. Lord, I pray if we've come tonight carrying extra baggage, things that happened today at school, at work, things that could be on the horizon tomorrow, Lord, things that may be an unexpected thing coming up, a medical appointment, a bill, Lord, some fractured relationships, whatever it may be, I pray we'd lay that aside right now. We cast our burdens upon you. Lord, we know that you've commanded us to do that, and you've said you care for us. So Lord, I pray tonight, let nothing hinder our singing from a heart of worship and love. Let our mind be focused on you in every word. Let it not be focused on a show we were just watching, a radio host that we were just listening to, a conversation before we came in, Lord. Let us put those distractions aside so that you might have all of our heart tonight, Lord, that you would be glorified in all that we do. Lord, I pray that everyone here tonight, those watching, is your child, part of your family, trusted Christ as Savior. Lord, I pray every child that's yours tonight would not be being chastened. I pray they'd have a great relationship with you and constant fellowship. I pray you use the Word of God tonight, our time of prayer together, to be an encouragement, a challenge, that we leave here tonight, Lord, glad that we could come to the house of the Lord, middle of the week. We ask your blessing now on this service, our boys and girls and Kids for Truth and workers downstairs, in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, 637. We'll sing the chorus medley. 637, I just keep trusting my Lord. 637. I just keep trusting my Lord as I walk along. I just keep trusting my Lord and he gives a song. Oh, the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail. I just keep trusting my Lord. Will never fail. He's a faithful friend, such a faithful friend. I can count on him till the very end. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail, I just keep trusting my Lord, he will never fail. Thank you much.
Maybe. All right, in the book of Philippians is where we're at. Maybe your Bible's open. Maybe you are opening it right now. Maybe you left it in the vehicle or at home. That's okay. There's a pew Bible close to you, all right? The book of Philippians, chapter number one. Chapter number one. Good to have you again here, those that may be tuning in from home. A lot of folks watching the weather, what's going to happen tonight. Going to get some ice, going to get some sleet, going to get some snow. What's it going to be like when you wake up? The road's going to be bad. What's the temperature? All those kind of things. And a men's retreat. And what's going to happen? A Friday, don't look too bad. Saturday, who knows? All right, none of us can control any of that. So we will see what happens and just lift up in prayer that we'd be able to have the retreat as scheduled, all right? Philippians chapter 1. Let's ask these three guys in the front here. Who wrote the book of Philippians, fellas? Can one of you tell us? Yes?
Paul.
Paul, very good. Paul. And Paul, one of the other guys, Paul, who's he writing to? The church at Philippi. Very good. So Paul is an apostle. He's a preacher. He's a missionary. He's a leader in the early church. He's writing to a group of believers at Philippi, therefore they're called the Philippians, all right? Not the Philippines, all right? The Philippians, but close spelling. So let's ask our final guy right here, all right? You know where Paul is at when he's writing this?
And I don't mean specific, like in his living room, all right? Or he's in his study off the Mediterranean. Do you have any idea? And that's okay. You guys have been downstairs. So you're like, man, Pastor Moore, you asked them easy ones. that's why if you volunteer early, you don't get the last one, all right? Any idea? He's got the thinker's look here. He's got the philosopher's look. He's rubbing. I don't know if he has any peach fuzz to rub yet. He's rubbing. All right. Oh, you notice he's turning it on me. He's asked me a question now. He said, was he? All right. What was that? Was he in exile on the island? No. He's what? He's in Rome. I think I heard awaiting trial in Rome. You ready to join him, Sean? You ready for a question? Sure. All right. Do you agree with that? Is he in trial in Rome? Is he on a mission trip? Or is he on an island in exile? He is in Rome. All right. That is correct. So Paul is in Rome, headquarters of the Roman Empire, Italy. He is awaiting trial as best that we can determine based on the book of Acts and comparing scripture and letters and things like that, that he is on what would be called, as far as we can tell, what we would call house arrest. It's jail, it's prison, but it has a few more freedoms, not that it's ideal, it has a few more freedoms than the dungeon, which will be awaiting him a little bit later, which we believe happened to him. All right? So how would we know that just from the book of Philippians? Anybody else, one of our adults? How will we know that we believe that Paul is in some type of arrest, prison, or jail? How would we know that just from the book right here? Anybody help us out? You've been with us maybe last week. We covered this a little bit. Yes, ma'am. Chris? In bonds. And where did you see that at? Okay, all right. So she's saying there's some two words together. It says, my bonds. You see it there, I think, verse 13. You see it again in 14. There's several there together. Yeah, there's three or four. So, my bonds, remember me and my bonds. Paul will say that. When you read that, you'll know that that's often called a prison epistle or a letter written from prison. My bonds, my chains. Just because he was in what would be house arrest doesn't mean it was easy living. He still was probably chained. It could have been just the feet. It could have been the arms. We're not 100% sure. But he would have definitely had probably at least two guards with him at all times. All right, you can read his letters and you can see that it looked like he led many of those men to the Lord. All right, he talks about Caesar's household and some of those that perhaps they're not going anywhere. All right, Paul, they're hearing him teaching when people come in. They're hearing him preach. He's personally sharing the gospel. They hear his testimony. And it looks like many perhaps may have trusted Christ as Savior. So Paul is in bonds, yet he's writing a personal, very personal letter to a group of believers who assemble and meet maybe in someone's house, Lydia's. We're not sure. Maybe they meet outdoor. We're never told exactly. But they are believers in the town or the city of Philippi, which was a Roman colony. All right. So let's want to look at just one theme tonight. We really haven't got into going verse by verse quite yet. The last 2 weeks, the Lord had me park a little bit on the topic of the saints. To all the saints, we looked a lot at the saints, the brethren, the beloved, God's family, and that's importance not only in Philippians but in the Word of God. So tonight we're still going to look a little bit. We'll probably get going a little more speedier as far as verse by verse perhaps next Wednesday. But tonight I want us to look at just a few things here. So I want us to consider this. So Paul's in prison. Paul's in prison. Prison. Not the greatest. Certainly not when you have your freedom and you can go where you want to go. You can travel the world, travel the country as he did, preaching and teaching. And certainly he had his trials. He had his persecutions. He had his stonings and beatings and run out of town and mockings and threats and riots and beatings and jail. We already know all that, a lot of that, some of that which took place in Philippi. So Paul is no stranger to persecution and affliction and trial. But that doesn't mean that he always embraced it.
That doesn't mean he always had the proper attitude. Let's not get the opinion that he was super Christian his entire life. The moment he got saved, everything was good. It was all easy. It was all natural. And he didn't really struggle. Sometimes we can make it seem that way when we read the Bible and glamour things. But that's not true, all right? He was a man like any of us. And one of the reasons we know it wasn't just something that was natural is something he says on the last chapter. So go to Philippians chapter 4. It's a well-known verse. Many of you know it by heart, and we'll be able to quote it. Philippians 4, we'll start at verse 10. So we're coming to the conclusion of the letter. He's finishing it up. He says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly." Well, now, what would make him rejoice greatly in jail? "That now, at the last, your care of me," your care, believers at Philippi, the church at Philippi, "your care of me hath flourished again." Wow, what does that mean? "Wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." Well, a lot there, but we're not looking at that necessarily tonight. But it brought a smile to Paul's face, and he was very grateful. But the next verse is the verse we're going to look at. "Not that I speak in respect of want," because he had just talked about having some needs and having some wants and the fact that they had met some needs. But he says, not that I'm not bringing this up. I'm not speaking because I currently right now have a great list of wants and needs. And that's not my point, he says. "For I have learned," there's the key, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Now, when you're teaching that verse to Kids for Truth, you have to explain that phrase, "whatever state I am." We're not talking about if I'm in New Jersey or if I'm in California. Whatever state. I mean, that would be normal for a junior to be like, "Oh yeah, I know what that means." We're not happy in Pennsylvania, but hey, when we go to Florida, we're happy. No. Whatsoever state, talking about his condition, whatever state, whether it's a state of poverty, a state of richness, a state of physical persecution, whatever state, whatever condition, whatever is my outward circumstances, Paul says, "I've learned to be content." I want to ask not just our young people, I want to ask all of our adults, and I want to ask myself, are you still going to school trying to learn that? Now, many times we're like, "Hey, I already went to high school. I graduated. Or I already went some to college. I'm done with that. Or I even went and did more than that, masters and doctorates and et cetera, et cetera. I'm done. I've got diplomas. I graduated from that." What does that mean? That means you pursued a field. You pursued a certain thing. You studied that. That was your focus. You majored in it, perhaps. You minored in other little things. You did some internships. You did some apprenticeships. You passed tests and exams. You did all the things you needed to. And they said, "Yes, and very well, but that's still the field that you're in." But you didn't get there by failing tests. Because if you fail the tests and exams and the things, yet you don't move on. You have to keep taking them. So I want to ask you, how about, that God has some schools you have to go to as a believer. How about the school of brokenness? A lot of believers have never been broken. They've never passed that test. Always having, their will has never been broken. Oh, they're saved, but they've never been broken. They've got to learn the school of brokenness. Moses was in that school, 40 years? Peter, how many years was Peter? How about David? How about Jacob? You have to go through that school or you won't ever pass. You won't really grow. The school of brokenness. Well, there's some other schools. It's called the school of contentment. Paul said, "I went there. I'm a graduate of that. It doesn't mean I'm perfect in that, but I had to learn that. It wasn't natural for me. It wasn't something that just was automatic." Now, I have a man writing a letter, and if you read the entire letter and we didn't see the words, "my bonds," we didn't see the word "my bonds," you would not know that he's in prison. If we just read the letter and deleted the words "my bonds," all you'd know is, "Hey, Paul, okay, he's got some needs here at the end, but maybe he's back home right now in between mission trips. Maybe he's recovering from some injuries, his beatings. Maybe he's at the church at Antioch with many of his friends and companions, sort of getting his strength and health back for the next trip. And that's why he's running. No. This is a man who's already suffered great hardships, had many opportunities to quit. His flesh has probably told him many times, why are you still doing this? This is foolish. But God loves you. This is not what happens to God's servants. Hang it up, Paul. He's listening maybe to other, maybe good friends. Say, Paul, you're getting older. How long can you put up with this? Not only are you traveling by foot, Paul, that you're getting much older in life. You got to be careful, your health and your legs. And how much does that take its toll on you? I don't know, man. Being beaten. Read his affliction resume in Corinthians. Thrice I was beaten by rods. Shipwrecked. We don't have all the record of all of that. Stoned to death. I mean, you don't think there's bruises and injuries and running out of town and a basket at night and friends abandon you and people don't come to get you and under trial and years in waiting in jail. Oh, my goodness. Normally, if that happened to all of us, we would go from a very joyful, happy person, and over the years, it would beat us down. It would beat us down to, at the end of our life, we'd be miserable, grouchy, irritable, angry, revengeful, discontented, living in anger, fear, bitterness. That's how it normally would happen. You went from this, boom, and we'd say, yeah, I can understand all he went through. Go visit him. Whew. All he talks about is all the bad things that happened. Well, no, that's not the way it was, though. That's not the way it was. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Here's a man. He's in jail. Doesn't have a lot of freedoms. Could be complaining and grumbling. Yet he writes a letter to other believers because he cares about them. He loves them. Remember, I thank my God upon you always. I have you in my heart. I pray constantly for you. I greatly rejoice over you. In fact, it's been such a great encouragement that you have communicated with me and that you have not forgotten me. And then you have even sent people to meet my needs, even though it's not always easy. And you have even, I'm rejoicing over you. You are my joy and my crown. Wow. For me to live is Christ. Paul, what about if you die? To die is gain. What will happen if I die? The presence of the Lord. My back doesn't hurt anymore if we got beaten. If the Lord's, that doesn't scare me. To die is gain. I mean, there's a Christian that can't be stopped. For me to live, Christ. 100% all the time. To die, it's gain. Your threats don't hurt me. Come on, getting angry, cussing me out, slamming the door. That doesn't bother me. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Wow. Being confident of this very thing that he would have. I mean, the whole book is full of that, right? It's a book of encouragement. It's a book that we often will read. It's like a New Testament Psalms. We get discouraged, we go to the book of Psalms. You know, we read these verses and go read the book of Philippians. Wow. All right. And this, wow, you know, all these verses here. Praise the Lord. And, I can do all things through Christ. I press toward the mark. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. My God shall supply all your need. Most of us, because we're sinners and our flesh is evil, we're cynical. And we're like, this guy's too good to be true. You know, I just don't know about him. I'd like to go meet him and I'd douse his fire because that's what some believers are good at doing. You know, someone's joyful and happy, bring him down to your level. Someone's grouchy, you're joyful and happy, right? I mean, that's all they do, all right? They're content, you're not content. Why are you that way? I don't know. So you want to get them discontented. Here's the Apostle Paul. Every reason to be discontented, angry, revengeful. All he talks about is Rome. All he talks about is the unjust government. All he talks about is companions who abandoned him. All he talks, you try to, no, it's not the way it is, though. I have learned. I don't know how long it took him to learn that. Doesn't mean he never failed. I have learned. Whatsoever state I am, to be content.
So what do you mean by to be content? It means content in Christ, in Christ. Read the Pauline epistles, read Philippians, look for every phrase that says in Christ, through Christ, by Christ.
I can do all things. A lot of us use that verse, right? I can do all things through Christ.
Press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. In Christ. I mean, there's the key. There's the secret, the power. It's not in the Apostle Paul. It's in Christ.
How are you content? In Christ. How many people, maybe it's you, that hear this all the time. They may not say it in these words, but this is what it is. If only I was married. If only I had a different spouse. If only I was in college. If only I had different parents. If only I had a different job. If only we had more money. If only my health was better. If only, and you just fill in the blank.
The mythical, if only this was different in my circumstances, then I would be happy. I would be joyful. I would be content. You'd want to be around me.
That's not true.
Now, is it easy to be joyful and content when you're healthy? No. But we didn't say it was easy.
Say, well, yeah, let's see what happens with you.
Exactly. I don't know. Something happened to me like Job. I don't know how I'd respond. We all like to think we would, but maybe we wouldn't.
But if only this had never happened in the past. If I could, but that you'll always be discontent. Always. The key to contentment is Christ. It's not in my circumstances. I have the ability every single day to focus on Christ all day and the Word of God or on everything else. That person that drives me crazy at work. The irritable brother or sister. The parent. And that's what a lot of people do. And we're talking about believers now. I'm talking about lost people who don't know Christ. We know how to help them. Well, what about for the believer, though? That's constantly discontent. And so they go around and make everybody else discontent. They're never happy with any situation. They always have something else that could change. Or why don't we do this one? And so they, what? Contentment is found in Christ. It doesn't mean you don't pray for a person to be saved if you have an unsaved spouse. That doesn't mean you don't lift up and ask God for healing, perhaps. It doesn't mean that God can't and won't.
But the idea here is this. Paul is in prison. He said, I've learned to be content. I could get up every day, get angry, blame the guards. Lousy food. Stinking, corrupt government. Bunch of friends who don't come see me because they're scared of being arrested. My back that hurts and all these things. I didn't sign up for this. You know, people say that kind of stuff, right? No, I can do all things through Christ. I have learned. That's called going to school.
Maybe it's time to enroll in that school. Lord, I want to enroll. I'm always discontent. It's my lot in life. There's always something. I want to be content. We can live by our emotions, and emotions God made, and emotions aren't always bad, but a believer directed and led completely by their emotions is usually a very discontent, up and down, unstable believer. We've got to live by the Word of God, not our emotions. We've got to live not by our circumstances and focus on all those things that will rob you of joy constantly. Well, God's in control. My attitude is key. Perhaps tonight, you'd simply say, Lord, I'm failing in the school of contentment, and I'm willing to admit that. I want to learn. Lord, teach me. Teach me to be content. Oh, Lord, change me. Don't quit praying for everybody else to change. Lord, change me. Start right here with this guy. Change me, oh God, for your honor and glory. Teach me to be content. Help me to find my sufficiency in Christ alone. Our time is up tonight, but I've asked Shane to come, and we don't normally sing a song here at the end, but I want us to sing a song. It can be a cappella, it can be piano, whatever you want to do. And we're going to sing a song that, it is well with my soul. Now, you can sing it, or you can, oh my goodness, you know, how do you sing it as well? We don't have to sing every stanza, but
whatever you'd like to do there, Shane. But we know much of the story of Horatio Spafford, who wrote this hymn after losing his daughters at sea and already had lost most of his fortune in the Great Chicago Fire, still had some things he was yet to lose. But is it well with your soul tonight? Perhaps we'll just make this not a eyes-closed invitation, but sing it from the heart to the Lord. Maybe you'd want to kneel there at the pew. Maybe the Lord has showed you something. So even as you sing it, maybe you say, Lord, please help me with this. It is well with my soul. And when he's finished, we'll go to the prayer bulletin.
All right, that's 478. We'll sing the first, second, and the last. First, second, and last.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. Haste the day when my face shall